The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Case in point to what I was just talking about, I've got the TV monitor on in our studio, and just now they replayed the end of the Browns-Steelers game last night. It is, man, it is bad. It is graphic. You know, a decision made in the heat of battle, if you will. Folks, be careful. All right. There was a walkout at an Oregon high school last week. Yes, there was a walkout because 100 students felt threatened. They did not feel safe, and because they felt so threatened, and they were so scared, and they were so fearful, they felt they had no other choice but just walk out. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of chickens. Now, were these chickens wild, crazy, demented chickens running up and down the halls of their school, pecking endlessly at them? Not exactly. They were dead chickens. They were fried chickens. They were chicken sandwiches. Oh my goodness. Here's the story. I'm not making this up. About 100 students at an Oregon high school walked out of classes last week in support of the LGBTQ community after they said a series of events made students feel unsafe, especially the presence of a Chick-fil-A food truck at home football games. A food truck filled with chicken sandwiches. Maybe they were frightened of the waffle fries, too. Have you ever been attacked by a wild waffle fry? Whoa. Oh, my goodness. Yep. They felt unsafe because there was a Chick-fil-A food truck at home football games. The West Lynn High School students, organized by the school's Gender and Sexuality Alliance. Yep, they didn't feel safe. The president of the, Gender and Sexuality Alliance said, quote, "We walked out to show our student pride, to show that despite everything we've been through, we are still proud of who we are, and we won't back down, and we won't make exceptions for anyone." Okay. I love this part. A group of counter-protesters also walked out of classes wearing Make America Great Again hats, waving American flags, and Chick-fil-A bags. West Lynn Principal Greg Newman sent an email to parents on Friday saying, "While the school supports students' free speech, it does not encourage walkouts." Yeah. The West Lynn Wilson School District takes all matters of school safety seriously and diligently investigates and addresses all potential safety concerns, including those dangerous chicken sandwiches and wild waffle fries. The school said the Chick-fil-A food truck will remain at the football games throughout the season, but will reconsider its vetting process moving forward. Anybody want to take a bet? I don't bet. I make Christian wagers. Anybody want to guess whether the Chick-fil-A food truck will be back at next year's football games? Probably not. They felt unsafe because of dead chicken in a truck. All righty then. Let's go to the phones, and I've got Jim in Upper Arlington. Hey, Jim, you're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Pastor Bob. Hey, I got to remember that Christian wagering. That was
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I don't bet. I make Christian wagers.
I like that. Hey, I'm calling because I got a friend at church who is just twisted in knots about this possibility of being able to lose your salvation.
Uh-huh.
In my adult Sunday school, we're going through Hebrews. I think it was chapter 5 or 6, and there's some mention of that possibility there. And so she's just unsure of her salvation, like it depends on her at all. And I just thought, well, you know what? I know somebody that I could talk to, and he'll give me, you know, the best advice I could get. So that was you, and I'm hoping you can help.
Well, I have very good friends who disagree with me on this. I have preached in churches that believe that it's possible to lose your salvation. So I understand the disagreements. The verses in Hebrews are very, very easy to deal with theologically. It doesn't say if you could fall. It doesn't say you can fall away. It says if it were possible to fall away, you couldn't get your salvation back.
Mm.
Okay. I do not know a single person who believes you can lose your salvation who does not also believe that you could get it back by repenting, turning back to God. You can get your salvation back. Well, Hebrews chapter 6 mm-hmm. is very clear. It says, if they should fall away, they could not be restored to repentance. You can't. But for me, the simplest way to express this is to ask a person, did you have anything whatsoever to do with gaining your salvation? Was it dependent upon your merit at all, any whatsoever? And, of course, the answer is no. I had nothing to do with gaining my salvation, earning my salvation, meriting my salvation. So if you had absolutely nothing to do with gaining it, how could you have anything to do with losing it?
Well, that makes sense.
It's not by merit. It is by grace alone. And mm-hmm. to dive deeper theologically, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for every sin that man ever committed. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior back in 1957, believe it or not, mm-hmm. all of my sins were forgiven, Jim. Every one of them. The price was paid for past, present, and even future. All of my sins were paid for. If I could somehow lose my salvation, in my opinion, that makes a mockery of the fullness of Christ's redemption and salvation. That means that he paid for all of the sins I've ever committed, except the really bad ones that I forgot to repent of. And theologically, that just doesn't make sense. The atonement of Christ, and there is the Old Testament example, and I use this example often. There were two kinds of sacrifices in the Old Testament. There were the daily sacrifices, and then there was the once-a-year sacrifice at the Day of Atonement. All right? Mm-hmm. The daily sacrifices were for fellowship. The atonement, the Day of Atonement, was for relationship. And when the atonement was offered by the high priest on the Day of Atonement, all of the sins of the nation of Israel were covered for one entire year. You only gave the atonement once a year. And all sins were covered, and that's the meaning of atonement, to make at one, to cover, for one entire year, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Mm-hmm. Well, if Jesus was the ultimate atonement, not once every year, but what Hebrews chapter 9 says, once for all of eternity, then when we trust his salvation, all of our sins are paid for. Just like the Day of Atonement covered for one entire year, the mm-hmm. death of Christ on the cross paid for all of our sins. So when we accept the atonement of Christ on our behalf, all of our sins are paid for, all of them. So why do we confess our sins on a daily basis? For fellowship. For fellowship. Can we fall out of fellowship with God? Yeah, we can, but not relationship.
Okay, yeah, I think her concern is if we can choose to accept Jesus, then afterwards we can also choose, like maybe if times get hard and things like that, cast them aside or something to that effect, hence the concern.
Well, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and that's a proof that we're a born-again Christian. If we do stray, then as a father chastises his son, so God chastises us. But again, if we could lose it, that puts us in the driver's seat.
That's a good point.
And I tell people, if you are worried about losing your salvation, you probably never will, you know, because that proves that you're convicted. It proves that you're concerned.
Oh, yeah. It proves you don't ever want to lose it because what it means eternally.
Yeah. And, you know, people say, well, that means then you can go out and do anything you want to do. Oh, no, it doesn't. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Just because I believe I can't lose it, I still live in fear of a loving, caring father who will whip my bottom if I stray away. He will chastise me.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Understood. Hey, I appreciate that. I hope you have a blessed weekend.
You as well. And again, I have very good friends who would disagree with me on that. And we have agreed to disagree. All right, Jim, thanks. God bless you.
Thanks, Pastor Bob.
My number, 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, this is interesting. The Pope is in the news again, and have you noticed whenever this Pope is in the news, it's usually not good news? Wow. I'll come to that in just a moment. I just saw this story. It just came up. But let me just say this. I was checking Facebook during the break. That's when I usually check Facebook, is during the commercial breaks, and I check Twitter as well. And I saw several people on my Facebook page making the point that Mason Rudolph, the quarterback for the Steelers, started the fight that got Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely. I saw that several people. Well, I need to understand, Mason Rudolph started it. Folks, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who started it. It doesn't matter what Mason Rudolph might have said to Myles Garrett or what he did. And like I said, I think from the video it's pretty clear that Mason Rudolph attempted to pull off the helmet for Myles Garrett. But he didn't. Here's something I hope you teach your children. If your children are older, I hope you tried to teach them that. What the other person does never justifies you doing what's wrong. You never blame your bad behavior on somebody else. So please, don't post on Facebook. If you're into the whole sports thing, well, Mason Rudolph started it. So what? If he did, so what? What Myles Garrett did was absolutely my mind just went blank. It was absolutely wrong. It was inexcusable. That's the word I was trying to think of. Absolutely inexcusable. No matter what anybody else did or what anybody else said, that does not justify what he did. All right, the Pope. Headline. This is a Reuters headline, just popped up. Pope Francis has said, politicians who rage against homosexuals, gypsies, and Jews remind him of Hitler. It really troubles me when anybody starts throwing around the Hitler thing. And he doesn't mention any politicians by name, and he doesn't mention what it means to rage against homosexuals. He doesn't clarify. So he just says, I must confess, when I hear a speech by someone responsible for order for a government, I think of speeches by Hitler in 1934, 1936. He is implying that if you disagree with homosexuality, you're like Hitler. That's a very, very dangerous and reckless comparison. I hope he will clarify. I hope. Hey, I had four or five other stories I wanted to share with you, but we just didn't have time. So tell you what, let's make a deal. Let's meet again together on Monday. Is that a deal? And we'll get to some of the other stories. Of course, by then we'll have new stories as well. All right, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? It's Friday. I hope you're in a good Bible-believing church this weekend. If you don't have one, make this the weekend you start looking. Find a good Bible-believing church. And please, folks, wherever you go and whatever you do, remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.